on your own understanding, but lean on the Lord. Amen. Again, we welcome you to our services today and grateful that the Lord has blessed us to be in the service one more time. It's always good to worship and honor God. Got something interesting we're going to share with you today from the Old Testament book of 2 Kings. Interesting passage that I ran across. We've been looking at winning in life. What does it take to win in life? And I know a lot of people ask that question, how can I be a winner? And even a greater question would be, does God want me to win? Or does he want me to lose this fight? Amen? So we've got to ask the question, what does it take for us to win in life? And so I want to introduce you to a passage of scripture to let you know that the battle does not depend on you. Let me say that again. Somebody didn't hear. They nodded off to sleep. Let me say it one more time. The battle does not depend on you. The battle is the Lord's. Amen. And we're going to discover some great things about God's goodness and God's grace today. 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 through 18. For those of you that can stand, we ask that you stand with us. So the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. After a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no water, no more water for themselves or for the animals with them. What? Exclaimed the king of Israel. Has the Lord called us three kings together only to deliver us into the hands of Moab? But Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we may inquire of the Lord? An officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Elisha said to the king of Israel, why do you want to involve me? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. No, the king of Israel answered, because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to deliver us into the hands of Moab. You all are going to have naysayers. Always going to have people. And repeat it two times, we're going to lose this battle. Hear what the Lord says. Elisha said, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not regard or have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not pay attention to you, but now bring me a harpist. And while the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came on Elisha, and he said, this is what the Lord says, I will fill this valley with pools of water. For this is what the Lord says, you will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you and your cattle and your other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also deliver Moab into your hands. Thus ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. I want to share with you a thought today. Undeserved blessing. Undeserved blessing. What does it mean when God gives us blessings that we didn't deserve? Shall we pray? God, we again thank you for your love and your grace. We ask that you speak through us. Bring out the things that you've revealed to me as I studied. And I pray that we would speak clearly and boldly the word of the Lord. That people would know it's not about man. It's all about God. Have your way in this service. And Lord, we glorify and we thank you for everything that you do. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There's several things in this passage that seems to come to light, if you would. If you look at this allegiance, these allies, these folks that have come together as they are now preparing to go into battle, you might say that they're the odd bunch or the odd trio, these leagues of nations that have come together. First of all, you have the son of Ahab, Jehoram. And if you know anything about Ahab in the Bible, he was a wicked king, and so was his son. You go back and you read where they were influenced by pagan worship, idolatry, sort of like what we have today in our world. People think they're worshiping God, but actually they're worshiping money. They're worshiping things. They're even worshiping themselves. This was the kind of people that there were in that day, and the same is true for today. So you have Ahab's son, Jehoram. He has gotten into this conflict with Moab because Moab at one point were paying tribute, or what we might call collecting money to give to the nation of Israel. But now that Moab has revolted since Ahab died, they said, we ain't gonna do that no more. It's kind of like the war between Ukraine and Russia. Russia couldn't get enough, so they said, we're gonna take what we want and we're gonna invade that nation. That was the similar situation that you had. And anytime nations wanted to raise money, they wouldn't raise taxes on the people. They would go conquer another nation. And that's how they would get their revenue. But not only was the nation of Israel odd, but now you have the nation, what we call the people of Ahab's neighbors, the neighbors of Israel. You had them now coming in and joining in the fight. And they were the people of Edom, Esau. Remember Jacob and Esau that grew up? Jacob's brother was named Esau, and God said, I love Jacob, but Esau I've hated, and I've turned away from him, because Esau was a person given to the flesh. And like all of the other nations, this nation of Edom, they were pagan worshipers. They were idolatrous people. Why do you come to church? You say, well, why do I go to church? Is it the ritual? No, it's to keep you out of idolatry. If you don't worship the Lord, you're going to worship something. Some people worship jobs. Their job's more important than God. And who do you think gives you the strength to work your job? Now, I understand that you got schedules, and I understand people in emergency services and having to be there, people that have to be responded. But if you don't have any time for God, and we've made it so convenient for you, you don't even have to come in here. You can worship online. Some people won't even do that. Look at somebody, tell them, Lord, have mercy. But as soon as something comes up, as soon as there's a situation, now we want God. Now we need Jesus. Well, where were you in your worship all of the other times? I'm just saying, amen. I'm just saying. Let me get back to the sermon, All right. Look at somebody, tell them, back to the sermon. So you've got these nations, these odd nations. And one lesson that we learn going into the text is you better watch who you hang out with. You better make sure that the people that you're hanging around going in the same direction that you are going. Because it may not be a surprise to you, but after a while, you're going to find yourself, instead of walking closer to the Lord, you're going to be walking away from the Lord. Anybody in the house? What does it mean for these people to come together? They came together, and the oddest one in the bunch was King Jehoshaphat. He was what you might call the good king hanging out with bad folk. Good king. Loved God, believed in the Lord, knew the power of God, and yet he's hanging around people that don't know God, don't have a relationship with him, and he's trying to make it work. Let me help y'all out. Everybody ain't your friend. Is that helpful? Everybody not gonna love you. All right? Quit trying to run up behind folk that don't even like you. Touch somebody, tell them, go on about your business. We try to impress people rather than trying to say, hey, I got an agenda. I've got things I need to do. If you want to be a winner in life, don't hang around losers. Are y'all here? So you've got to make sure that you're in good company, as the old folks would say. You've got to make sure you're hanging around the right people, because those are the folks that will inspire you. Those are the people that will bring out the gift that God has placed in you. But if you're around folk jive time, talking all the time, ain't going nowhere, don't want you to go nowhere, that's tough for you to climb that hill. That's tough for you to say to yourself, I'm going to make it in life. I'm going to be something, because you cannot get anywhere if you're hanging around people who are jealous, envious, and always trying to hold you back. With that being said, that's the people that this King Jehoshaphat was hanging around Jehoram, hanging around the king of Edom, and they were all confused, all messed up. So here's what happened. Let me break it down. I'm gonna go and preach, because I feel the spirit in here now. I feel the spirit. Look about, tell them I feel the spirit in here now. So what happened was, this king of Israel convinced the other two nations, hey, join us. We don't like Moab anyway, so now we need you to help us. Moab was a rather large nation, so it took more than one of them to go up against them. The second lesson that you need to learn is, never go into battle unless you know what it's going to cost you. They wandered around in the wilderness preparing where they were going to launch their attack, and it didn't take them any more than 10 days for them to find out we didn't bring enough water. Now, when you run out of water, you really got it bad. It's one thing, you can make it off food, but you can't make it off water, not having water. They ran out of water. Know the logistics of what you're trying to accomplish before you set out. Any builder, Jesus said, is going to sit down and count the cost of what it would be before they launch any type of venture. You got to know what the cost is involved in it. So this brings us to a couple of things that we need to look at when we are saying that we want God's blessings and we need God's blessings in our lives. A lot of people just automatically assume, they assume, well, whatever I do, God's going to bless it. I don't know about that. Maybe that's one of the reasons why you ought to come to Sunday school. All right, maybe you can find out from church school and Bible study, hey, God doesn't bless anything. Are y'all here? If you got a mess and now you want God to bless your mess, I don't know how that works. There are a lot of people that feel that God owes them something. And here's the serious part of this message. Everything that you got in your life was a gift of God's grace. We read in our opening scripture this morning, for you are saved by grace through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God. God wanted you to be blessed, and so he gave you a gift that you could not receive on your own. So anytime you think that God owes you something, you are insulting the Holy Spirit. You don't deserve it. Let me show you the other part of it. If you come to God feeling that he owes you, you've got a measure of what you think you need to be blessed. All right? So you want to get blessed this much, but God has in mind the gift of grace, and he's going to bless you this much. Didn't the Bible say he's able to do exceeding abundant above all that you even ask or even think? Then you need to let God be God. You need to let him bless you. You need to let him help you. You need to let God strengthen you. Quit limiting God by feeling he owes you something. He owes you nothing, but he's willing to give you everything. Hello. Sometimes in church, you hear people give a testimony. And from the moment that they open their mouth, I know where they're going. Well, I've been saved a long time. And I just thank the Lord for his hand upon me. Praise God. Well, wait a minute. What happened to grace? Why can't you testify if it had not been for the Lord on my side? Like my grandma said, he woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. I don't deserve it, but thank God I'm here. Any witnesses in the building? Anybody know God been good to you? Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Yes, he's good. Keep it under grace. Keep it under grace. And this really brings us into the heart of the text. None of these kings deserve God to do anything. Why? They got themselves into it. And here's the king of Israel, where the Lord brought us together just to see us destroyed. You ever seen people that you can't argue with them because they're so stupid? And for you to get them back to zero, you got to get stupid with them. Paul had to do with the Corinthian church. They got so stupid, Paul said, now, I didn't want to act foolish, but I'm going to act foolish just to get you back to the right side. I ain't going nowhere with that. I'm just going to leave that one alone. So you miss your blessings, and you miss where God wants to take you because you feel that he owes you. It doesn't work that way. God picked you out before you were even born. Haven't you learned anything about when he made Adam from the dirt? He made Adam from the dirt to prove that God could take anything and make something. Good God Almighty. He can make something out of it. You got to let him have his way. You got to quit wrestling and tussling with God. Because you don't have enough strength. I may not get through this sermon, but I'm going to preach it anyway. Because it needs to be said. The other thing that has irked me, got on my nerves, is for people somehow to misinterpret certain passages of the Bible and think that they have some type of covenant claim on God. All right, I'm going to say this. I'm going to try to be nice, but I might not be nice. I might get real ugly. So y'all understand, amen? I wanted to go out on the airwaves. I wanted to put it on the internet. There are folks among us African Americans who think that they are the 12 or the 10 lost tribes of Israel. I ain't got but one thing to say. Have you lost your mind? God doesn't lose anybody. He knows where the lost tribes are, if they're lost. The thing that you need to be concerned about is your soul lost. That's what I'm talking about. All right, so let me help y'all out. There's a group of people, a movement among black churches that has more to do with how this covenant works with the lost tribes rather than the blood of Jesus. Are y'all with me? They think that because you're a member of these lost tribes that happen to come over here some kind of way, that now qualifies you for blessing. Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, and I'm going to read it for you because I need to tell you right now that you do not qualify for that. God's got something greater for you. You don't have to be an Israelite. As a matter of fact, all you need to be is a Gentile who says to God, Lord, I believe in you. I trust in you. And God will save you. I got to preach it because people are getting stupid. Are y'all here? I got to preach it because people are getting crazy. For you to come under a covenant through Christ is the only way that you can go to God. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way. I am the
truth, and I am the light. Why y'all make me preach like this? I'm preaching because we need to hear it.
If people ask you, you're the lost tribe, you tell them, say, no, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. God saved me. God saved me. All right, hear what it says. And I gotta get on. Y'all making me preach the long way around. But that's all right. We're going to preach the long way. Galatians 3 and verse 1. Paul said, verse 11. That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just, listen to this, the just shall live by faith. My grandma said, you fooled yourself a minute any kind of way other than the way you're supposed to, you're getting it wrong. You got to realize that God saved you through grace. And what the church at Galatia had done, they had departed from grace because they wanted to be like the Jews. If God wanted you to be like the Jews, you would have been born among the Jews. But you're not born among the Jews. You were born where you were. So you better let God do what he's going to do right where you are. Are y'all listening? Boy, there's some good preaching here. This man, I've been wanting to preach this for a long time. Finally getting here. Don't let folks bamboozle you. You pull up something on YouTube and you listen to it for a few minutes and now you done got yourself all twisted around and then call me with the question, Pastor, I heard so-and-so say that we would have lost. Who is so-and-so? What did God say? Get in the book. Learn the word. Now, I'm going to hurt and preach. I know I told you that a few minutes ago. I'm going to hurt and preach. I got to get on this one though. There are people, for whatever reason, they study the Bible. Of course, they study it their way. And you've seen folk get to the level where they think they know everything. I don't care how much you study this Bible, there's always something new, something more for you to discover about God. But now these folks, what they want to do, they want to make you do everything their way because they studied the Bible. You know, you can do this hodgepodge thing of just putting things together. And you can think that you deserve God's blessings. But ladies and gentlemen, it all boils down to this. If God doesn't want to bless you, he ain't going to bless you. If he decided, and nothing you can do that can convince him. But I'm going to show you something in a second here. I'm going to show you something. Hold that thought in mind. But when God decides he wants to bless you, nothing in this world can stop him. Oh, you ought to shout on this one. You ought to shout. And you know what? Here's what it says. For folks that are trying to tell you, well, you don't know what I know. And since you don't know what I know, you can't have what I have. You just tell them, long before you were born, God already decided he was going to love you. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Good God Almighty. God wanted to love you before you even entered this planet. And you know what? The blessing was already there. And all you got to do is claim it. All you got to say is, yes, Lord, I claim this blessing for my life. Amen. Don't get up in this false thing and this false notion of where God owes you something or because you have a certain covenant or because you feel you got certain knowledge that you feel obligated. Now, let me just go on and get in this thing. Jehoshaphat kind of got a signal that he was messing around with folk that didn't know where they were going. You ever notice when you... When people not doing what they ought to, and then you stop and say, wait a minute, I need to pray. How many of y'all been there? Caught yourself in the wrong place, hanging around the wrong folk, and now they turning foolish on you. And you say to yourself, I need to pray. I need God to help me. Jehoshaphat had some confidence in God. The Lord had already dealt with him. He was already making some reforms in Israel. Why he chose to go along with this crowd of folk is kind of like what we do, wanting to keep up with everybody else. Want to do what everybody else is doing. You can get yourself in a world of hurt and a world of pain. But he did get two things right. Two things right. He said, is there not a prophet of the Lord? Look at your text. He said, now, is any prophet of God around here? And somebody suggested, well, there's Elisha. He used to be the servant of Elijah. And Elijah worked some mighty works of God. But Elisha got that anointing upon him. Let's go see him. Folks, third lesson, maybe fourth lesson. You need to get God's help. When we sing that song, all my help comes from the Lord, you better believe that there's no one else that can help you the way that God will. So the text says they went down. Why did they do that? They did it not at the suggestion of the king of Edom, because he didn't know God, nor Jehoram, because he was halfway serving God. He could blame God, but he couldn't trust God. Easy for you to say when things go south on you, well, the Lord got me into this. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't talk like that if I were you. Anytime God has your next breath, I'd be careful what come out of my mouth. Yes, Lord, he got my next heartbeat. I'd be careful what I say. Amen. Blaming God rather than trusting God. 10 days into the venture, supposed to be going out, marching out to war, run out of water. Now he says, the Lord brought us into this. He wants us to get destroyed. That's where a lot of people are, not only in life, but some of y'all in this church. Oh, it got silent. Yeah, it got real silent. As folks say, it got real quiet, like a library. You get in a hard place. Get in a rough spot. Now you're angry at God and you blame him for bringing you there. Rewind the tape. Find out who made the decision. And you'll find out it was me. King of Israel, blaming God. King of Judah, trust in God. You're going to have some hardships in life. Amen. Some of you are already in it. Some of you just come out of it. Some of you getting ready to go into it. Amen. Trust in God. Ask yourself this question. Next time that devil gets on your shoulder, you know how to get on your shoulders. Well, why would God allow this in your life? Next time that devil gets on your shoulder, you say to yourself, God is the creator. I'm not going to allow negativity to come into my mind and to convince me that God's not in control. I may not be able to see my way, but God is almighty. Here's the other thing that you need to remind yourself. He didn't bring me this far to leave me now. Can I get a witness in here? You got to trust him. What good would it do to sing the negativity song when you need to stay positive? What good would it do for you to complain, grumble, and blame everybody else when that's not going to change a thing about your circumstances? A lot of people run into that wall of difficulty, but they run into an even bigger wall of blaming other people. You will never get over your problem. You'll never get through the situation until you start saying to yourself, I'm going to quit complaining. I'm going to buckle down. I'm going to do what I need to do. And I'm going to let God do what he wants to do. Are y'all here? Boy, this is a good sermon here. This is a good sermon. You need to go back to the YouTube and let's do it later. Amen. I'm going to do that myself. So Jehoshaphat said, we need help. We need God's help. But the second thing that he said, we need God's word. We need something to direct us. He said, I want the prophet to speak to us. Let's go to the prophet's house. You know, you wake up to preach in the middle of the night And you better pray you wake up one with an anointing. Because if you don't, he's going to say something else other than the word of God. That's another story for another time. All right. So they sought God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a book to play with. This is where you live your life by. God will direct you to the scriptures and to the passage that you need. 2 Timothy says, all scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what it says in the Bible. Now, if it says that, you think that God would just say that for no reason? Well, my life is just a mess. My life is just terrible. Well, what does this book say? Are you going to define your future, or are you going to allow God to speak to your heart? Here now comes these three kings needing help, knowing that God's word is going to help them. What do? They listen. Even Jehoram had to listen. He tried to bring up an excuse. Well, God got us into this. No. And Elisha had a word for me. If it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't be looking in your direction. Amen. That's another reason why you need to stop hanging out with folks that, amen, ain't going in the same direction, because they can't get blessed like you can. They're not in the place where you are. You got to make sure that you're claiming God. So three quick things before we close. All right, three quick things. That's hard. That's a tongue tire. Here's what Elisha said. He said, now, first of all, God's got the answer. You got to believe that in your life. There's not a problem that you will face in life that God does not have the answer for. Amen. Now, that answer may not always be evident, but it is available. Sometimes you just got to walk by faith until God sends you a sign that you can say, oh, this is confirmation that this is what the Lord wants. Amen. You got to know that God has the answer. There's not a problem on this planet that God has not solved already. As a matter of fact, all things work together for good to them that love God. Well, Pastor, I had this to happen in my life. God said all things. That means, that includes what you're facing right now. So say that with me. God has the answer. Second thing, God will provide. He said to them, now you're wanting water. God's going to provide water. But he had to do something. It wasn't going to come until the next day. Now, Ms. Cabler, here's the interesting part. What did they do all night long before the water came? If you look at the verse prior to that, he told them, dig ditches. Which means now it involves you. Don't just sit around waiting, Lord, gonna make a way somehow. And beneath the cross, you better do even more than just beneath the cross. You better start doing something with your hands. Responsibility. He told them, dig the ditches, which is a saying, get to work. Work on your faith. Work on your life. Allow God to work in you. That's why I read Ephesians 2 and verse 10. We are his workmanship. Don't put it all on Jesus. And well, Jesus, you don't do it, it can't be done. Jesus is going to get in you, and you're going to do something. Are y'all still here? You got to work. You've got to work for the things that mean something. And in that work, the next thing they did, the Bible says, it wasn't until they started offering the morning sacrifice. So now you got the king of Judah, you got the king of Edom, and you got the king of Israel. They're making a sacrifice to the Lord, which is worship. God's not going to bless you if you're not a worshiper of God. If anyone is a worshiper of God and doeth his will, the Lord will reward you. You're going to get back and blame God and curse God and speak against God and expect him to, you better get on your knees and worship him. When you come together, don't feel ashamed that if you lift your hands up to the Lord. People go, oh, ain't nobody else lifting their hands. You lift your hands. What's wrong with your hands? Matter of fact, to help you with your arthritis, you ought to get your hands up. And bursitis and everything else, put the hands up and praise God. Amen. You worship God. One thing I'm praying about, Lord, don't let the fire of my worship go out. You got to keep fire under the sacrifice, which means when I come in here, I mean to praise him. I'm not going to expect the male chorus or any other choir to praise him for me. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to lift up my voice unto the Lord. But not only did it involve working and worship, it involved waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. You got to wait on God sometimes. Can't see the answer right now, but the answer is on its way. I want to make you an unequivocal promise. God will bless you. If you worship him, if you say, Lord, I want you to work in me and help me to do things I need to do, and you wait upon him, God is going to bless you. Well, what if I die? Well, if you die, he can wake you up and get you blessed. Death is not a problem with God. Death is a problem with us because we don't know how to see the other side of it. But if all you could see the other side of what God is doing, you would say, hey, that's not a problem with God. The Lord Almighty has blessed me. Undeserved blessing. So the next day, I'm going to make this verse short. The next day they got up, and as they offered the sacrifice, water started coming by the way of Edom. And I said, Lord, why Edom? Edom was the most unlikely one for the supply of what God was going to do in their lives. Edom. Some of y'all are saying, well, I don't know whether my life is worth it. Pray anyhow. Amen. You might be that Edom situation where God can bring a blessing through. Amen? Amen. Amen. I love the way that Andre Crouch put this thing. He said, now, you know, when you think about undeserved blessing and what God has provided in our lives, he asked some important questions. He said, now, well, I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he even sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. Then he asked another question. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Can I get a witness in here? Where would I be if he didn't care? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad. I'm glad he did. You got to know that God blesses you. You don't deserve it, but thank God you sure can enjoy it. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to enjoy. I'm going to enjoy God's blessing because he's my God. I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why. I don't know why Jesus loves me. Oh, I don't know why.
I don't know why he cares. Where would I be?
He didn't love me.
Oh, where would I be?
Where would I be
if he didn't care?
Oh, where would I be?
Where would I be
if he hadn't sacrificed his life?
Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did.
Here's what he did. Oh, yes, he did. He left his mighty throne in glory.
Oh, yeah.
extend the invitation real quick. Anyone that needs to be a part of Christ, wants to join up with him, if you're online, you can just write to us, pastor@crossroadbc.com. We'd love to have you to join with us as we can pray and help you to grow in your faith. So if there's one today, the invitation is given. The invitation is given. I don't know about y'all, but I'm a winner in life. I can't lose. Can't lose because God is real. Amen. Officers going to get ready to come for our offering. Pray that you remain standing as they come at this time. But amen. I don't know about you, but I got blessed today. Amen.
Yes, yes.
Amen.